we present James Bolam as Bedford and Donald Sinden as Professor Cavour in First Men in the Moon by H.G. Wells. Dramatized for radio by Joe Dunlop. Episode 1, No Hiding Place.
But I don't understand, Charles, tonight.
Faster, cabby!
Try not to knock over any drunken revelers, sir.
But where, Charles?
What?
Where will you go?
South America, Africa, best you don't know.
Such a lovely night. Look how clear the moon is. I love you so much.
Oh, what a confounded mess.
Take these.
No.
You gave me this diamond pendant and these earrings. Sell them. Take my engagement ring, too.
No, you've given me enough money to get away from London. That's all I need. Why now? Why now that I've met you does the whole pack of cards have to tumble around my ears?
There, I'm putting them in your pocket. Just tell me you love me, Charles.
Take the next road on the left, cabby. Of course I love you. I'll always love you.
Why don't you speak to my father?
It's too late. Please, darling, try to understand. If I want to live more than a few hours in this new century, I must get out of London tonight and on my own.
Whoa! I'd park you, sir.
But stay here, cabby.
Shall I come with you?
I shall only be a few minutes. Hopefully Spike is still waiting for me to leave the Buckingham's party in Chelsea.
Oh! Evening.
Spike!
Well, well, well. You doing a rammer, eh?
No, no, I was only...
No more lies, Bedford.
Please, don't kill me, please, no.
One more squeal out of you and she will slit that pretty face of yours wide open.
I can get it. I can raise it in Paris. I wasn't running away. I swear on my mother's life. A couple of days, everyone will be paid.
You conned the wrong people this time, Charlie boy.
Wait, wait, please, please. Listen, you can't kill me. In my pocket, there's a ring, a pendant, earrings, aspirates. Gotta be worth £300. They're yours. Say you never found me, eh? I can pay it all back.
Shut up. I'll have the diamonds. Uh-huh. But first, I'm gonna make a little slit... just here.
Help! Police! Help! Police!
Hey. Let me go!
You slippery!
Oh, God! I'm bleeding!
Bedford!
Drive on, cabby! Drive on!
Here.
Now!
Here! Bedford!
Charles, look out!
Yes! Gotcha!
Let me go!
Anna! Kevin! You stop, Kevin!
Let him go! I stabbed his hand with my hatpin. He was going to kill you!
Oh, where you can hide, Bedford! I'll find you! I'll find you!
Excuse me.
Hello?
I want a carriage to take me to, Old Cliff Cottage.
Never heard of it. Must be out of town. Old Zebedee Garrison will know. He's a carter. If he does, he'll tell you.
My dear Elise, 2 weeks and the isolation and solitude here has calmed my nerves more than somewhat. The village shops have extended me credit, so I'm not starving. I have only one neighbour, an eccentric-looking individual whom I see every day walking along the cliff-top path. I have so far thought it prudent not to make his acquaintance, though how Spike could find me here in deepest Kent, I do not know. My neighbour is some kind of scientist, the carter told me. Ah, a letter I dare not send.
Munson doesn't work like he should.
Now, he's young, Spargus. Drink up and stop getting so aerated. Betsy, two more pints of cider.
Why the professor keeps him on, I don't know.
Why does he keep us on? We don't need three of us in that laboratory of his.
Because, Gibbs, Cavour has more money than sense.
You see, all that stuff arrived today must have cost a fortune.
Keep your voice down. That man is listening.
Oh, well, well, very cozy, you two, leaving me to unload that blasted wagon on my own.
Yeah, shut your face, Manson. It's time you pulled your weight.
Can I just come in, Miss Badger?
Thank you. Excuse me, I couldn't help overhearing. You work for my neighbour, Professor Cavour.
What's it to you?
Permit me to introduce myself. Charles Bedford. I've taken a lease on Old Cliff Cottage.
So?
I think I've seen the professor walking past.
Oh, he likes his walk.
Every day, same time. So, what's he working on?
His secret.
Your drinks, gentlemen.
Oh, put those on my account, Betsy. Yeah.
What about me?
And get our young friend here what he wants to, Betsy.
Where you be, Mr. Bedford?
Jack Gibbs. How do you do? And this is Mr. Spargus. Uh-huh. And Samuel Manson.
Hello.
Good health. So, is he still working on the...
If you want to know anything, friend, you speak to him yourself.
I intend to.
Spargus is an ex-sailor. Got a bit of a rough tongue on him. Take no notice.
I like a man who speaks his mind. Enjoy your drink.
A word of warning, stranger. The people hereabouts like to keep to themselves.
Spargus. No. It's quite all right.
Your supper, sir. Mutton and cabbage. Hope you enjoy it.
It looks very interesting. Thank you, Betsy.
Sir.
More money than sense. One of these days, I will speak to him. Oh, come on, come on.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Professor Cavour, I'm Charles Bedford. Mm-hmm. I'm living at Old Cliff Cottage. I met your man Gibbs, is it, and the others in the tavern.
You know, I stay away from taverns. Alcohol clouds the thinking process. Red meat, too, poisons the brain.
Well, certainly their mutton did nothing for my digestion. Any chance of a glass of water?
Gibbs!
Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Bedford.
Yes, Fisherman Beaker of H2O. Spargus?
Sir?
Are you watching those gauges?
Yes, sir.
You better come in.
Thank you.
Don't trip over anything. Who are you again?
Charles Bedford. We've met before, actually. You won't remember me. But I was at the Royal Society when you spoke about your anti-gravity experiments.
I don't remember.
I found your talk absolutely fascinating. Mm. Weightless metal and all that. But when I've seen you on the cliff path, I didn't realize it was you until I met up with Gibbs and...
You've seen me walking.
And humming.
I don't hum.
Oh, yes, you do. Like this.
Do I really? Yeah, well, I never realized it. I hope it didn't disturb you.
No, not at all. I'm down here writing a new novel.
Well, I like to walk. Clears the thoughts.
I'm extremely interested in the latest advances in science, being a writer. Frightfully exciting. Here we are, a new century, a world of wonders awaiting us.
You don't know the half of it, boy. Come in and look.
Your water, sir.
Oh. Thanks, Gibbs. Nice old boy.
Yes. When I told you last night about the professor going to the Royal Society, you never said you were there, Mr. Bedford.
Delicious. Didn't I, Mr. Gibbs?
Through here. Yeah, they laughed at me, the Royal Society. Said it could not be done, but I shall prove Newton wrong. Apples can fall up.
Really? Oh, this is your workshop, eh?
Yeah, the ordinary laboratory. It used to be the stables.
It looks very impressive.
So come on, Manson. The conical flask is coming to the boil. You know what that means?
Yes, Professor.
Yes, well, go on, make the tea. You'll stay for tea, Mr.
Bedford.
Bedford, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, good. Then I'll show you everything. Oh, yes, Bedford. The material will be quite impervious to the force of gravity.
Completely weightless?
More interestingly, it will harness the force of gravity to create a new high-velocity power of propulsion.
I'm not sure I quite...
Now, this material will force gravity to work in reverse. Any object coated in it will be thrust away from the Earth rather than drawn to it.
But the applications for this will be limitless. Well, transportation, obviously. Weaponry, construction. It will revolutionize
revolutionize everything. Professor, you're going to be a very rich man.
Money means nothing to me.
It's lucky for you we met.
It is.
Your field is science, and in it you are obviously, well, a genius. No. My line is business, the exploitation of such things. Without blowing my own trumpet, I can say I've made a fortune already.
Well, last autumn, those bushes were covered in blackberries. I make my own cordial, you know. I had Gibbs collect baskets of them. I pulp them with my own feet.
What I'm saying is we should be partners in this venture. I would guarantee to license the material very strictly. Only those who offer the top price would have it.
I don't want to sell it.
You don't need to. That's where I come in.
All I want to do is prove to the world that I am right, and those closed-minded fools of the Royal Society are wrong.
And you will. Now, let me have enough for a demonstration.
We shall see.
When can I have some?
I haven't made it yet.
But I thought
Bedford, I am close.
Really?
Oh, any day now, maybe even tonight.
Yes, well, once you have made some, we must...
point undoubtedly to temperature being the last critical factor. Tonight, I intend to increase it by 20%. Spargus and Manson will feed the furnace all night.
How long have you been trying to invent this stuff?
Oh, let me see here. Must be all of 9 years.
9 years?
I've been so close for the last 3 years, but never so close as now.
What was that? Spike! Quick. A weapon. I need a weapon. The lamp.
I've got a gun.
Oh, now you have it, Bedford.
I am.
Keep away, Spike!
I'm gonna blow your cheating brains out, Bedford!
I can't move! Oh no! I can't move!
Bedford!
He won't find me here. He can't find me here. Good God! Cavour's laboratory! Professor Cavour! Are you there?
Bedford, oh, Bedford, congratulate me! What a glorious sight!
Are you all right?
Oh, never been better! I've done it!
What's happened?
I've isolated anti-gravitational polymetallurgical B7. You come into the house!
What? Why not just call it Cavourite?
Why?
After its inventor.
Cavourite. Yeah, it sounds very fine. It doesn't sound too boastful, does it, my boy?
Leave the marketing to me, Professor.
Blackberry cordial?
No, thank you.
Oh, dear. Manson and Spargus.
What about them?
They were in the laboratory. Ah, well, they're martyrs to the cause of scientific research. Fortunately, they were men with no dependents, only themselves to care for. It was the temperature, you know. You saw how powerful it was.
What caused the explosion?
No, there wasn't an explosion. Everything lost gravity and shot up into the sky. It's up there, traveling away from Earth into outer space. Even Spargus, what's left of him.
What good is that to us?
No good whatsoever. But I have the formula now. I shall make more.
I would like a copy, when you have a moment.
I shall make more and build the first Cavourite-powered interstellar vehicle. Soon, we shall be up there. You and I, Bedford. Under control, of course. How innocent it looks. Unsuspecting.
What?
The moon, Bedford. Little does it know, but its secrets are about to be uncovered.
You want to go to the moon?
Don't you?
Professor, if this stuff does all you say, we are millionaires, multi-millionaires.
Forget money. Don't you want the adventure of a lifetime? I must create the Cavourite within lead shields, exposing it only when we are ready. What do you say, Bedford?
What?
Are you coming with me to the stars?
But we have to exploit the discovery here on Earth first. License it to firms, governments.
Give me a hand to write this workbench.
You have to understand this.
Oh, the heavens are angry. Tonight, I shot a hole right through them. Look, roof blown clean up into the sky. Oh, it's starting to rain. Let's leave this till the morning. You must take a bottle of cordial back with you.
Are we still partners?
What?
I would like you to sign this draft contract, just to formalize things, you know.
I wonder where that pin has got to.
I've spent my life in the world of finance and business.
Well, where's it got you, huh?
Without me, Cavorite could fall into the wrong hands. Unscrupulous men and governments.
Unscrupulous men, eh? You have to look out for them.
I can ensure...
All right, if it'll shut you up, I'll sign your piece of paper.
One other thing. It's dashed embarrassing, actually.
Oh, come on, out with it.
The local shopkeepers want paying, and I've no money.
Well, draw some out of the bank. That's what I do.
No, you don't understand. I have literally no money in the bank or anywhere else.
Well, how much do you need?
Well, say 100 sovereigns?
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
Thank you.
But first, I want you to say you'll come with me on this voyage of discovery. What about that, Bedford?
Of course I'm coming, partner.
So what delights are you intending to satiate me with tonight, eh, Betsy?
We didn't know what you mean, sir.
What's on your bill of fare?
Well, Mr. Bedford, we have ox tail.
No, please, don't bother reciting the dreary list. I'll have a meat pie and a bottle of burgundy. Something good, mind you.
I can't put any more in the sleigh.
What?
The landlord, he says no more tail.
He's a fool. What do I owe, Betsy?
£2.80, but only the landlord said...
Here you are, Betsy. 3 golden guineas. Keep the change. Get yourself something pretty.
Oh, thanks very much, Mr. Bedford. I'll go see about your supper.
More where these came from, too.
Got you.
Oh, my God.
Scared you there, did I, Mr. Bedford?
Manson, Spargus, you're alive.
It was Sparg's fault, Professor.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was, Professor. You told him to help me, and he wouldn't, Professor.
You mean you went there? Neither of you? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
you let the furnace go out.
Well, Professor, he...
That's it, Bedford. I thought it was the extra heat, but it was the cooling down. No, you brilliant pair. You've helped me create Cavorite.
Cover what?
Cover right! Fascinating, Bedford, how many of the greatest discoverers of science are facilitated by accidents. Ignorant assistants who do the wrong thing.
Gibbs says you're going to build a flying machine.
A space ship, Spargus. There's a whole universe beyond our planet, and we intend to see it. Don't we, Bedford?
How could we all go up in the sky?
Let me show you my designs for the interplanetary vehicle. Gentlemen, I give you the Cavorite Sphere.
Could we go near a star, Professor, and bring one back?
Shut up.
Oh, I'd love that. Big, bright star to hang up outside my house.
First up, the moon. We must start building straight away. Propulsion sections. 4 and a half, Bedford. A sheet of Cavorite on each, covered by a protective lead shutter, like a roller blind. By lifting it up and exposing the Cavorite areas, we shall be able to steer and adjust speed.
The windows have arrived, Professor!
Jolly good, Manson! You shall be able to look out and choose your star. Up here, Bedford. The bridge of the ship, as it were. Sparkus and Gibbs are laying in the wires to connect these levers and pulleys to operate the Cavorite shutters. Over there, the controls for internal heating, lighting, and the artificial gravity.
Artificial gravity?
Now, come and see the floor below, Bedford. Here, watch your step. Yes, down here. Our cabins, one each.
That's like a liner.
The saloon. Ah, what do you think?
Mind out, coming through.
Yeah, well, we go easy with that, you men. Ah, so brass handrail for the staircase.
And all these books. Do you really need a library?
If we meet with other beings, I want to demonstrate that we are intelligent forms of life.
Well, some of us.
Don't let your end drop, Manson.
Bedford, what is it?
Nothing.
Well, where are you going? I haven't shown you the galley and the crew quarters.
My dear Elise, I have written to you every day, but so far have posted none of the letters. But now, sweetest darling, I think after 3 months it is safe to send this one. Cavour's sphere is nearing completion. I have said I will accompany him, but I am fearful.
Morning, Parson. Anything for me?
You can be as scared here, Mr. Spike. I could get into hot water for this, you know, intercepting the Royal Mail.
And over her letters.
Well, be quick, then. The other day, one of them tenants gave me a funny look. I think she suspects something.
You worry too much. Bank, shopping accounts. Yeah, this might be what we have been waiting for all this time. Postmark? Limney in Kent. I'll keep this.
You can't do that!
Keep your voice down! The tenants will give you an even funnier look if they see you with your lousy throat cut.
What's on your mind, Bedford? You've been extremely quiet this evening.
This is madness.
What?
We should be licensing firms to make small quantities of Cavorite for commercial purposes.
No, this is my discovery and I choose how to use it.
For what? So that you can crow over a lot of old scientists that you've got one over on them? No!
You think that's what I'm doing this for?
You've said it often enough.
I want to add to the sum of human knowledge. I want no gain for myself.
No monetary gain. You are the most selfish, self-centered...
And you are a fortune hunter. And not a very good one either.
You know nothing about what travelling in space will do to the human body.
I do.
We could all be killed 2 seconds after you expose the Cavorite.
The advancement of science is not without its dangers.
Don't you see? One miscalculation with this and we're dead.
You're half dead already.
What?
Well, you're not frightened of death, Mr. Bedford. You're frightened of life. You want to do what you always do, run away.
Leave me here to exploit the industrial uses of the material. Then, when you come back...
For the last time, no! Come with me. You're young. It's a chance to redeem yourself.
I said I was coming, didn't I?
Oh, well, for a swindler, you're not much of a liar either. We go the day after tomorrow with you or without you.
Empty. Get me another bottle of wine, Betsy.
Don't you think you've had enough, Charlie?
I'll tell you when I've had enough. Now take your fat little bottom downstairs and get me more wine.
You don't love me. You said you did before I let you.
Of course I love you, my dear. In bed with you, aren't I?
You're not funny.
Listen, Betsy. How do you fancy the trip of a lifetime?
Well,
want to come with me to the moon?
You're drunk.
Right, and you're a fat tart, but I'll be sober in the morning.
You're horrible, you are.
First thing in the morning, Concavore out of another 100 sovereigns. Get back to London. Marry Elise. Take her to Italy. Look at that. A full moon. Now, why would I want to go there when I can see it perfectly from here? Oh, if only I could get my hands on the formula for Cavorite.
Where do you want this, Professor?
In my cabin, Manson. Is there much more?
This is the last.
I've decided we're going tonight. Full moon.
Right.
Everything's ready.
Good, good. Nothing here to wait for.
Mr. Bedford isn't coming, then?
Apparently not.
We're better off without him. I've sailed with wasters like Bedford. They're no good.
Oh, no, that's enough, Sparkus. When I want your advice, I'll ask for it.
I'll seal the door.
Perhaps I should give him one more chance. No, wait, Sparkus. Don't seal it yet.
Oh, yes, he's here all right, Mr. Bedford. Drunk and asleep by now, I would imagine. But if it's urgent, you can go up, I suppose. You're a friend of his, you say, Mr...
Spike. Well, more of an acquaintance, really.
Oh.
Ah, up there, is he?
Look, just a minute. Maybe I should tell him you're here first.
There's no need.
You're right, Gibbs. You look a bit peaky.
What? No. I was just remembering what happened with the Cavorite last time. Only difference this time is we'll be sitting right on top of it.
Not a sound. Fast asleep.
Bedford! I have to get away. For good. Somebody can't follow me.
Where is he?
I don't know.
He's not in the room, but the bed's still warm. Where is he?
Come on! Let me in, come on! I'm coming with you!
They can't be going tonight.
No.
Once the Cavorite shields are fully exposed, it may be a little bumpy. Hold on to something secure.
Right.
Release secondary locks on shield 1 and 2, Mr. Spargers.
Aye, sir.
What's that?
Someone's outside.
Fit! I can't leave him here.
But the shutters are already opening. It's too late. Come back, Professor.
Open the door! I'm coming with you! Open the door! Come on! Oh, God, it's Spike! Come on! Open the door!
Don't be so stiff!
I'm coming with you!
I'll fetch the ladder!
No time! Grab my hand! I can't reach!
Who is that man? How dare you, sir?
Quickly! Give me a hand!
We have only seconds. The shields are opening. We can't stop them now. That's it.
Someone, we'll get you for this. Come on.
Hey, hurry. Nanny, if the Cavorite is exposed while the door is open, we will all be... This is it. But for God's sake, Bedford, hold on to something.
In First Men in the Moon by H.G. Wells, you heard James Bolam as Bedford, Donald Sinden as Professor Cavor, Gary Olson as Manson, and Tom Georgeson as Spike. The part of Elise was played by Gilly Bond. Gibbs by Anthony Jackson, Spargus by Chris Pavlow, and Betsy by Ali Haynes. The music was composed by Robert Rigby. First Men in the Moon was dramatized for radio by Joe Dunlop. It was produced by Michael Cameron and Stuart Richards, and directed by Martin Jameson. First Men in the Moon is a Mr. Punch production.